a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order.
Attention.
Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats, Jerry's
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
And I don't want you calling him a sissy.
Yeah, don't call me a sissy. Thanks, Lou. I was wondering when you're going to play those again. Well, here it is. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of June, I think it is. Today's the 2nd of June or 3rd? Can never remember.
2nd.
I can't. Oh, I got it right here in front of me. I didn't even look at it. 2nd of June, this is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live Monday through Friday on the U-Broadcast Network via the DutchJones.tk website, and also on Facebook, also on MySpace, and as I'm told, on sub-micro stations around the country. I'm really liking that. I'm really honored that people are taking my signal, taking the downloads, the archives and radio, and I've heard Minnesota, Texas, a couple states out east are picking up the signal. And our second hour, we simulcast with libertytreeradio.4mg.com. And we do that, and it's great that we have that opportunity to mingle with a different type of audience. But mostly, the people that are attracted to this show are of a Christian mindset. And then secondly, they are of a survival mindset. DJ, I have a question. That was me who said we're going to have a gas barbecue for the conference. Rocky Hill Rangers asking a question. We're going to buy a gas range and put it up here for people to use or for us to use on the porch. Actually, by then, we'll be living in a different house on the property. But we will make available a gas barbecue for people. And then we'll probably move it up on the field because there'd be like a Calistoga, you know, like the wagon trains of the old West. They circle on the field. But, yeah, that's nice. I want to get to that. The chat room. If you want to get involved in the chat room and talk to me, I'm signed in as guest. Lou is Dutch Jones because I don't have time to type or anything. I'll just answer the questions. But if you want to get in the chat room, you've got to go to the where it says check out the what's the button?
The
I can't remember what it was.
What was it?
I don't remember. But yeah, well you can just try to post something. Not chip in. It's a little thing up there. Well, you need to go to the UBroadcast. UBroadcast.com, type in Dutch Jones, you'll find us. Sign up, just ask you some questions. When I did it, I made up all the phony information. And then you'll be able to post, you know. But there's a lot of people that want to just sit there and listen to the show. That's fine, too. I have no problem with that. Raheel Rander says, one is for sale for $50. Hey, Warlin, test. We're not looking for a used one. We'd rather get a new one that's not all nasty, but if it's in good shape, you know, maybe give some input on it because we could use one up here. We need a barbecue. We need the bottle, too. We're having a weird day again. Everything's breaking. Everything's going out of kaputness. The Forerunner, we got the brakes on. We can't get them bled. We don't know what's going on there, so we got no pedal. And now it won't go over 3,000 RPM in second gear. It won't shift. Well, it'll shift. I can shift it, but the engine bogs. So we don't know if all that work we did moving the gas tank and everything dislodged some stuff. So it's kind of sad. Let's see. Rocky Hill Ranger says it's a big one with a side burner at a yard sale. I'll tell the folks to hold on to it. I'll pick it up Friday. Needs a little work on the grills. Yeah, pick it up. Bring it up. And we'll presented to the cause. We can always use more equipment. And that's kind of what today's going on. But first, before we get to that, today's going to be show and tell for Dutch. I'm going to show you some of the stuff I have, not to be braggadocio, but to show you what I can do with a little bit. So I want to share that with you. But before we get into that, I got several emails from people that listened to the last few shows, people who know me on MySpace or Facebook, They were a little angry with me for ridiculing Israel for going into international waters and attacking people. And they said, well, they're just defending their homeland. They're just defending, you know, their people from terrorist attack. Now, on the surface, that may be true, and I understand why people would say that to me. But I would argue that they have no right to occupy the Gaza Strip. If they have a right to exist, and their biggest qualm with the rest of the Arab world, Semite world, is that they won't recognize as a state. Well, they don't recognize Palestine. So that's my answer to that. It goes back a lot longer than, you know, I'm not saying, you know, you can love Israel all you want, but it's not a key to our salvation, and the nation of Israel is not the real Israel. The Jews that populate Israel are not delineated in mass. You know, I don't want to get into this whole thing, but that's why I do not get behind Israel. Just don't. I'm not a big fan of it. And when they do things like this, it infuriates me. And they seem to get away with it all the time. Had Iran done that in their territorial waters, gone out and raided a ship, they probably would have got, smart bombs dropped all over Iran. And the Western world would be screaming, how dare you do that? So just pointing out the double standard and the hypocrisy of our nation, because everybody wants to coddle to the Jew. To the nation of Israel, and I appreciate the arguments I got in the three or four emails. But let me tell you this: I'm not changing my worldview on them. Israel was destroyed by 70 A.D. roughly by Titus, and that was the judgment on those people. They had a choice. They could have accepted Jesus Christ, and they chose not to. So they were punished, and the Lord used Nero via and then down through Titus, and then I can't remember the name of the other general. Anyway, they utterly destroyed Israel and all the things he talked about. None of this shall come to be as long, you know. He said, "This generation shall not pass." He was talking to the people there, and they were still alive when it happened. So there's not going to be another battle going on there. I'm sorry. That was the doctrine of churches up until about 100 years ago. And then this new dispensationalism crept in. And then this, we have to do everything we can for Israel. No. They had their chance. The Messiah came. The majority ignored them with knowledge. He went right to them and said, I am who I say I am. And so I am not going to let up on Israel. You can send me all the information you want, but I'm sorry. I'm not anti-Semite, I'm anti-Israel, and I'm anti-Zog. And those of you that don't know what Zog is, that's the Zionist occupational government. And those folks are just as bad as white supremacists, just as bad as black supremacists. So, there you go. And it's not a racism thing, it's a cultural, and it's a whose side are you on kind of thing. Now, I've met a lot of good Jewish folks, no problem. I was the best man at a Jewish wedding. Mazel tov. You know, I don't like their food.
Mazel tov.
Did I get you up on
that shellfish?
Yeah, you can't eat shellfish. I don't like their food. Their food's terrible.
All that shellfish they eat.
I've done Passover dinner, all that kind of stuff with friends that were Jewish and just went, ugh. Wow. Terrible food. But so there's that. Other emails I'm getting is just that people, it must be all these people that signed in as guests, that send me emails that they say, how dare you mix the Bible, you know, with militancy and all that kind of stuff. And my answer is in my show. So I didn't even bother to reply to these people. And I have a canned answer. Your ignorance of the Bible and your ignorance of American and world history does not make me wrong. Go read your Bible. Go read your history. And when you're able to debate me on that level, fine. But stop nipping at my heels. It doesn't do any good anyway. Usually I can tell what you're doing by the title of the email. So I just threw it out. You know, I don't even read them if they say, oh, you're a heretic. You know, you shouldn't be doing this. Okay, show and tell Wednesday. I haven't been sleeping well again. Late at night listening for the helicopters and airplanes. We've been getting afterburner sounds and sonic booms the last several days. Little contrails, chemtrails, whatever you want to call them, all over the place. Somebody named Smut. Hello. is that an abbreviation for silly mutt? Show and tell Friday. Great. Thanks, Smut. I'm glad you like the show. I want to show you what we're doing with the little that we have.
I have these earplugs.
Yeah, Lou has earplugs. I don't know if that popped up on the camera. Those earplugs actually came from the Exeter Militia.
I can't see them.
Yeah. Fill it for me when I get the weapon ready.
What? A lot of people are coming to me and saying, Dutch, I can't go out and buy all those things. I can't buy a gun. Rifle's 400 if you're lucky for a bolt-action Savage or something. AR-15s are off the scale. Even Mini 14s are $700, $800, $1,100. M1A1. The microphone's a little in the way here, but we'll see what my main battle rifle is here. This is a highly sporterized Mosin-Nagant, remanufactured from a captured weapon during the Great Winter War with Finland. Finland remanufactured it. You can tell some of the stamps on it. Bless you, Luke. Octagonal breech. I don't know if you can see that. I'm trying not to get too blurry here. It's got an aftermarket fiberglass stock. I have the sporterized wooden stock, too, and I may be going back to that. One of the things I don't like is, I don't know if you can see it, but where the camouflage paint wears off, the fiberglass, the brown fiberglass, starts to show through and shine a little bit. So maybe I just got to hit it with some, sandpaper or something. You're going to zoom in?
Yeah.
You're going to try and zoom it in? Okay. Well, you tell me what you're doing. This is a bolt action. It fires a 7.62 by 54 rimmed cartridge. So you'll see 7.62 by 54 R. The R stands for rimmed. Lots of surplus ammo. I don't even know what this stuff is. We buy it whenever we find it. We buy it on the internet. Duracoat. Yeah, maybe I'll use Duracoat. So what we need to do is find a weapon that we can afford not just to buy, but to feed. So what I did, I should be looking at the camera, I'm looking at my computer. I saw that you could get 440 rounds for about $150 or so, and even cheaper if you shop around. There's a diversity of rounds out there for this thing. It is a tapered round. You cannot put the 308 round in there and extract it. The extractor will not pull. It's actually 2 millimeters longer than a 308 round and 3 to 4 millimeters shorter than a 30-06. I'm not sure about that rating.
We're in America, not Europe.
Yeah, sorry, I know. I still use the military millimeters.
This is America.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I don't know what a millionth of an inch. I can't even do that, but I know what 2 millimeters are, so sorry.
I got to look online, too.
Hey, when I was in public cesspool system, they made me learn metrics.
Well, they made me learn whatever the opposite of metric is.
Yeah, you don't even know what it's called. If you're not going to bake it, then do not handle it for 3 weeks, and after coating your gun with Duracoat, it needs... Okay, there you go. So, we can't afford a lot of rifles. So, we've got three of these in different configurations. We'll move on to the next one. But what I've done is I've mounted a frame rail on it. Took a little bit of gunsmithing. I bought this off eBay for about, I think it was $60. It came with the turndown bolt handle. I'll show you a difference when we break out one of the other ones. The bolt handle is... usually straight, but this one I did all this with a hand, with a drill, a cordless drill, and a Dremel, and then I tapped and did this. I even used, you can't see it, I don't think, but I JB welded this down too. Once I got it aligned, I JB welded it. Now this set here, back here, is for regular eye relief scopes. I also have a forward. I don't know if you can, have to drop it. A forward. I hope they can see this. Scope rail for a long eye relief scope. Now, many of you that are Jeff Cooper fans know that he made... You're zooming in, Lou, and it's making it worse. Just back out.
It's a delay.
Okay, you're already back out? Good. I'm not used to the delay. Jeff Cooper came up with a configuration of a long eye relief or a pistol scope forward for better and quick acquisition. I bought the scope and the rings on eBay for about $43. It's a 7 power. It's 2 to 7 power, but I keep it cranked on 2. Or, excuse me, on 7. What it does, with the longer eye relief, it's less time to acquire the target. And you can shoot with both eyes open, and it superimposes the crosshairs on your target. We were out shooting it today to zero it in, and we got about, at 100 yards, we were, 3 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
The group was not sub-minute of angle. It was not sub-minute of angle. It was about an inch and a quarter grouped. That's acceptable to me. I'm not a sniper. I'm a designated marksman. I'm bounding overwatch. I'm not a frontline troop. I put some swivels on it, an old leather strap. I had a newer shotgun strap on it that was kind of bungee. That made it hard to get a hold of and secure when it was stretching. So I liked the leather. I oiled it. This actually, someone threw this strap away, and it still works fine. A little bit of Velcro here. The other thing that I had to do, and the weapon is unloaded. I'll take the bolt out here so I don't scare anybody. The basic rules of firearm safety, never point at anything you don't wish to destroy, but I have taken out the bolt. Here you go. Here's the bolt. There's no rounds in the chamber. I'm checking with my pinky. No rounds in the magazine. Make a visual inspection. I see nothing. Okay, so here's my rifle. But what I wanted to show you, and to make sure the rifle was safe, is I don't know if it'll show up on there, but I chopped the barrel off. It was a 24-inch barrel, I think. And what I've done is I chopped it off with a hacksaw, and I re-crowned it. Now, if you don't know what crowning is, the end of your barrel has to be exactly flat. And otherwise, when the projectile comes out, it'll oscillate as it pushes off the two dissimilar surfaces. The pressures will be different, and your bullet will start to yaw. And that's not good for accuracy. Eventually, I've had them where people have chopped them off and just, you know, not paying attention. A little keyhole in the target, way off target. I did all this with a Dremel and a set of files. My files are behind me. But I've got a set of fine files. I just sat here until I got it right. I kept using an angle and a mic gauge to make sure everything was fine. That was good. And I like the shorter barrel. This is so it can transition from being in the bush, and also I can use it to, if I'm being backed up by somebody with a pistol or an M4, we could do it. Smut says I use an 11 degree crown with a 90 degree bevel. That's probably the industry standard for perfection. But what I've done is I poor man James Bond it. I don't even know what the angle is in there or any of that stuff. I just know it's recessed to protect it. I know it was level when I put it in. But yeah, you can get it as perfect as you want. I mean, one of our guys up here had a 30-30 Remington 788. Strange round, but it's the gun he has, so he's going with it. And he chopped off the barrel, and it was crooked, and the rounds were going to the left when they'd come out. So he's, for about $80, he got it recrowned, and got it, and then he, for about $150, he put a nice set trigger on it. I'm not going to be able to put a trigger on this that I know of. I don't know if they make one. Somebody's saying here there was just something on Channel 17 News Bakersfield about the state is trying to ban the open carry. Yeah, that's right, 38 Special. There's some stuff going in there. They want to do that. Now, Minnesota Patriot says, if you have a little more cash to spare, go with the Romanian Romac 3. I love those things. Semi-auto, they're banned here in California, but yeah, if you can get semi-auto, get it. This round is devastating. It's mid-range between the 30-06 and the 308. Here, I'll use your English. I won't say 7.62 by whatever. Okay, so the 308, it's in between. I have fired 308 rounds in one of my cheap ones. I used to buy these. Believe it or not, this one that I have here I bought for $80 with the stock and stuff that's laying over there, and then I put it in the other stock. $80 at Big Five Sporting Goods. Now they're about $150 or so. When I was a kid, we would buy these for $10 to $20 each, cash and carry out the door, no guaranteed. No guarantee on them. So we'd buy three or four of them at a time to make one good one and keep all the parts. I really like this round. They have some steel core rounds, so that kind of gets around the armor-piercing law. They're not armor-piercing rounds, they're steel core. They go through those little flip targets that you have. They'll go right through. What is it, a quarter inch, I got to say? I can't go millimeters. Lou will attack me. That's, you know, from there. Oh, yeah. So, get in the chat room. There's some good side discussion going on in the chat room. I really like it. The other thing that I've done to this, and then we'll move on to the next one. This is my rifle. This is my gun. This is for killing. This is for fun. But anyway, I put a used Blackhawk, can they see this?
Let me zoom in.
Shooting cheek pad, little case here. Now in the case, I've got the boar snake for 30 caliber. I've got some survival stuff that I put in and out of there. It's empty right now because I've taken stuff out. But I would put things in there like, water-resistant matches, things like that, maybe a small compass. There's a little pouch on the side, and you can put rounds in here. Now the elastic is worn out on this one. So I just gathered it together and sewed it up with my sewing kit. And these fit nicely in there. And of course, I'm going to carry extra rounds, you know, on my person and my web gear. So we'll do what we can do. What? Two people talking at once? What are we talking about here? You guys can hear two people talking in the chat room. Please clarify. Do you have something else running, Lou?
No.
I got two people talking at the same time. Quality of the audio is bad, but no other problem. I wonder why it's bad. Oh, what's going on? We do have a fan operating in the background. That may be giving... Huh. Just I guess 38 Special will have to reset. I don't know why.
He has, like, two windows of the...
Yeah,
screen.
He's probably got two windows open. Sometimes I do that. I'll open up two windows of DutchJones.tk and you broadcast both. So that's what it is. You're hearing a delay. And anybody else, if they're hearing it, please check in. Feedback? That's weird. I'm running on the output on the headphones. I'm hearing what's going out over the air. Let me turn this up here. We may get some feedback now.
Feedback. That's weird. I'm running on the output on the headphones. I'm hearing what's going out over the air.
Check in. Sounds fine to me. Let me just mute it. I gotta mute it or else it'll start feeding back. I just checked our feed here and it sounds good. I don't know. I would back out and reattach, so we'll see what happens. So I get the cheek. Oh, for the padding to raise it, because as you can see, the scope is kind of high. I just took some different padding. I made my own pads. Here's a little shoulder pad I put in there. But I used material from a worn-out mattress pad. The blue color stuff, wrapped it in some desert tan duct tape that we have. It's like 100-mile-an-hour tape. And raised my cheek a little bit higher so that I could see through the scope. The rings that came with the scope were big, super high see-through, and it was way too high. And again, this is not a sniper rifle. This is going to be a rifle for defense, what I would call it, bounding overwatch. You know, I'll be watching the guys move around and trying to give them protection as they're coming back in. Okay, let me see how to do this here. Hello, who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Brett in California, Dutch.
Hey, Brett, you're live on the air. I just tried to call you. We saw that black Jet Ranger about an hour ago now, flying around real slow and low over our property.
Yeah, I heard your message, sorry I missed your call.
That's fine.
Yeah, we've been seeing, I'm sure you've talked about it and seen it, but we've been seeing a lot of strange military aircraft, a lot of unusual activity in this area for about the last week. I do know there is an air show, however, planned, but from what you were saying on your message, and that Ranger did not look like DEA. I don't know.
It was. I'm assuming it might be DEA looking for marijuana, but I don't know for sure. They were wearing black BDUs, which is kind of strange. And they were leaning out the door and had something in their hands. Unfortunately, my binoculars weren't available. And Lou got a very small picture of it, but it's not worth posting.
It's like a black dot.
Yeah. But, very slow, very low. Looking out the door, videotaping possibly. I don't think it was a weapon. But I think it was indeed some type of intelligence gathering device, and there were happened to be four of us out from the group working on my Forerunner, and we just all stopped, stared at it, and watched it go by. Well, Lou took a picture of it with a cell phone picture from that far away isn't really going to give us anything.
Replay, where's the helicopter?
Yeah, we can find the helicopter in the blue sky.
I wish I had a camera with me because I was like I said this morning, pretty close to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got cameras available in the house. Stacy has one, but of course she wasn't here. So we're going to have to take one of my video cameras and keep it plugged in by the front door. That way we can just grab it and run and get it. So we have activity, and it's...
It's escalating.
It's escalating. It's alarming. It's check that cell phone. It's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. So that's why, I don't know if you're listening today or not, but we're doing show and tell. I'm showing how a poor person like me can get at least basically equipped if they're diligent. So I'm showing off my Mosin Nagants and some of my equipment.
I didn't want to say anything. I need to talk to you off the air. I'm not going to say anything on the open air.
Sure.
But I need to talk to you along that line.
Okay. You say you might come up tonight or Sunday?
I'm going to probably get up Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. If I
can't, well, because I'd like to bring it with, but I haven't got it yet.
Okay. Sure. So, yeah, we go to Bible study right after church, so I probably won't be able to call you back tonight. So,
right.
Because we got to go down there and videotape the stuff. So, well, thanks for calling. We're coming up on a break. Is there anything else you want to share with us?
No, just tell everybody up there I miss him, and I'll see him Sunday, and God bless the Republic. Death to the New World Order.
Amen, brother. We'll talk to you later. See if I can hang this up appropriately. We came in here today, and I hadn't hung up the phone, and it wasn't attached to anything, but I pick up the phone and I hear music going through it, and we got this really neat system here that, you know, we can put people on hold and stuff now. We only have one line, so it's redundant, but anyways, it was good to hear from Brett. We're talking about that helicopter. He's about 45 miles south of us. They're making long passes, aren't they? Smut says Mark would be proud of that modification, Dutch. I hope he would be. Now, Lou, go grab your Mosin-Nagant. Bang, that's loud. You scoot the chair back on a concrete floor. Make sure it's unloaded. No, the short one. I mean, they're both yours, but give me the short one. I just want to show you the different diversity in the gun. Now, this is one that we have not altered. This is a Romanian. Take the pistol grip off of it. We put a pistol grip on it just as a joke. Just kind of stuck it on there. But this is a very nice rifle. When you get into these, you're going to find that different years and different designs, or not designs, different armories. Like this one is a 1955 in Romania. So they're pretty good quality. Everything fits. I mean, the parts are interchangeable. The one I have was made before World War I, done at the Tula Armory, and then it was used in the Great Winter War in 38 against Finland and captured by Finland and then remanufactured. So they work it out, so it's a good one. This is another good one. This one came by way of another militia. It's on loan. We use it for training, but we'll see what we can do. Round breech instead of the octagonal breech, a leaf sight, attached bayonet, and I'll just kind of show you a bayonet. And I have learned that you don't take the bayonets off these things. It really messes with their zero. They were designed to have this bayonet. Now, one of the problems I don't like about the bayonet is if you don't have a good grip on the weapon or a good muscle memory, this thing's going to just cut your finger to shreds. It's the only thing I don't like. If I were in a combat situation, I'd be sticking something over it, you know, that would fall off easy when you had to deploy it. Put a rubber ball on the end. Leaf sight on this one's a little shorter than the next one I'm going to show you. This is something that a police officer or a garrison officer or like a palace guard would have in really good quality. Again, the bolts are similar. One of the things I want to show you about these, there's no safety. There is a safety, but you have to be the Hulk to use it. If you look at the back, there's a knob. Let me see if I can do this. Here's a knob right here. You can pull that, as I stick it in the wall, and rotate it to the either side, and it won't fire. Let's see. Yeah, see, it won't fire. And you rotate it back. My safety is this. I put my thumb over it, I pull the trigger, and I ride it forward, and then when I'm ready, I just pull it back. It's just and it cocks on the upstroke. You see here, remember I showed you the bolts were different? See, this is a straight bolt. It sticks out straight. So you have to modify those for if you're going to put a long-range scope on it. If you're going to do a short eye relief, you can go on eBay and just put short, or front scope rail for a Mosin-Nagant. You just pop a pin out, take this out, take out the little metal flange, and you can pop that in and ready to go. Now, we've done something different to this one. This one, it's weird. Every Mosin-Nagant has a different identity. This one kicks a lot. And mine's even lighter, but it still kicks a lot. I don't know why. I can't get into it. So we put a compensator on the end to redirect the blast to take the bite out of it. And that was $12 on eBay. Fits over the front sight assembly. And it works very well. I wanted to put it on mine, but because I chopped the barrel, it won't fit. We have the original sling and straps. Very nice condition. Okay, go ahead and start the music, Lou, really slow. So this is an intermediate one, but of good quality. If you get a chance to hand pick these when you go to Big Five, do it. Give it a chance. See if you can go through it and handle it and check the bore. Okay, we're coming up on a break. We're going to be back right after this, and we'll talk about the long-range rifle that we have. We have yet to scope. So keep listening. I'm Dutch Jones. Go to DutchJones.tk. If you like what you're seeing, hit that chip in.
It's coming down. New world orders, training armies on our ground.
soldiers dress in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at the enemy. I know a man who lives way up in Idaho whose sole desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down, it's all around. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I saw the lawless law there flex its long, mean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some know what they deserve. It's coming down, it's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed troops they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither and coil. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down. Troopers dressed in blue and black, like the vicious dogs they are.
Government. There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
A bang!
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
World order.
Attention.
World order.
Government. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
that. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
What's going on? Here we go. Woohoo, phone down, mic's up. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. You can hear a fan in the background. It's got it unusually hot for me today, so we got a fan going on. And That may be the chair in the back. We're here live right now. It is the 2nd of June, and we're doing a Wednesday show and tell of some of the weapons that I have. Because I've got some emails from like, oh, you're talking about all this stuff. I can't afford anything. I can't do anything. And what I've shown you is less than $150 for a weapon so far. The Romanian one is from the Exeter Militia, and it's just up here because, you know, to be kind of here. And we use it for training. This next one is a good-looking one. Oh, by the way, the model number, for those of you that care about those types of things, the short ones are M44s, the big ones are M91s. And when I say big, I mean big. I don't know if you can see the whole thing because of the camera, but this thing's long. Back when they made them so that when you ran out of ammo, you could stab people with the bayonet and you could use it as a crushing weapon. And these things are usually pretty good. When you're looking to buy them, make sure they're one piece of wood, because the ones made during the war were made in a frantic state in basements and tractor factories and things, and they used different pieces of wood. So you only have one piece of wood. It's pretty imperative that you get the same serial number on the bolt, and the serial number is usually on the bolt. What do you know? I found one without one. That is highly unusual, unless somebody polished it off. But the receiver serial number right here, they have a floor plate, which isn't that critical, but the bolt and the receiver should match. You want that as much as possible. I mean, it is still made with ration engineering. You know, the enemy of function is perfection. But what's unique about this one, look at the longer sight on this M91. It's a graduated sight. It raises up. And not with this one, but one that I had before. In fact, the one that I showed you that I made into a scout rifle, I was engaging targets out to 800 meters with iron sights, 55-gallon drums. Figure fair size, and you can hit them with these rifles. It comes with a cleaning rod, and you get a kit. I'm going to take everything out of the kit, but you get different types of kits. They come in different forms. Sometimes they're in belt pouches. Sometimes they're like this, and the cleaning rod works. Plus, you know, what is it? It looks like a musket, too. The only thing I like, you can keep it in a corner of your house, and someone will always say, oh, it's just a musket. You know, the cleaning rod comes out. You know, it's threaded on the bottom. You know, it's got a place here to put the handle in to twist it, and it just fits nicely into the stock. Now, some people get really mad at me when I show them that I've chopped up Nagants. Well, to me, it's about function. It's not about having the coolest collection that I can. It's about having something that will reach out and touch somebody, plus having, you know, you guys know, there's three of us here, but we've got more than three rifles. Well, the reasons are is that there are different purposes for different rifles. We do have a semi-automatic Mini 14, but there's nothing amazing about that that you probably don't already know, so I'm not going to bring that out, but if, let's do the, let's go just with the 22 with the scope on it, the black one, yeah, that one right there. I feel like I'm on the knife show late in the morning on the Home Shopping Network. Well, next we got the, what is this, a Marlin?
Yeah.
We got a Marlin, brand new, made in North Haven, Connecticut. We put a scope on it. It's magazine fed with a 10-round magazine that's in the ammo box at my feet. Yeah, there's a magazine over there, too. There's a magazine right here, too. And one in the room, I hope.
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, the silver one's in there. So we got this scope, nothing fancy, you know, a little high-rise mounts, but we got it. This is actually a center point 4-power by 32, which is designed for pellet guns.
Free.
Yeah, how did you get this one free? When you bought your 22 pellet gun?
Yeah.
So we put it on the 22, and it works great. You know, we shoot out the 200 yards, great for collecting game, neighborhood cats, but do not disregard this as a combat weapon for two-legged deer. More people in America are killed by 22 caliber rounds than all the other rounds combined. Now, some people may say, well, that's because gangsters use them. I don't care. The terminal ballistics of a 22 round are devastating. Doctors can't get them out. They sometimes do more damage trying to get the round out. So a 22 rifle, and if you guys watch Shooter, remember when he was standing in the boat with the little silencer on the end, he was shooting the CIA thugs that were killing the FBI officer. They were going to shoot him. He used something similar to this. I think his was tube-fed. I prefer magazine-fed. Trying to load a tube-fed while you're pinned down by enemy fire is very tricky.
Israeli Defense Force uses 22 Rivers for short range.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Israeli Defense Force, they use 22s that are suppressed, and they pick out people in the crowd and head-shoot them. SWAT teams in California use them to take out dogs at crack houses. I actually modified one for a SWAT team when I was still working public safety. I lightened up the bolt. That's a ruger. If I had a ruger, you'd be looking at that now. But right now, the one was $300, and we just don't have the money. So we go with what we get. A lot of what we get survival-wise is through barter, and unfortunately firearms are hard to get now. If you have a gun, keep it, is the motto. I've approached other people and said, hey, you want to sell that? I don't know, maybe not. So you can see that a 22, you know, bolt action, this one's unloaded. Take care of it, it'll last you forever. This was the same model as my second rifle as a kid, but of course it had a wooden stock. The only good thing about 22 is the shells are cheap. Stacy just picked up 2,600 rounds for $100.
Would you recommend hollow points for that?
Hollow points, definitely. I wouldn't use anything but hollow points, but also get short subsonics. Can you hear that subsonic round over there? Sitting up on the shelf. Look on the shelf. There's a long rifle. Oh, there goes that sound of the chalkboard again. Let's see. Yeah, right here. This, and I don't know if you'll be able to see it when I do it, but that's a 22 short. That's what our great grandparents used to use. They didn't have 22 long rifle for a while. There's basically a primer, a rimfire primer, and a few grains of powder. I used to shoot these inside into a box of phone books in a house I grew up in, and my neighbors didn't hear it. With a bolt action, single shot, coast to coast hardware store 22. These are very quiet, but that doesn't mean, I think they're about 500 feet per second. They're made by Aguilar. There's also heavier bullets by Aguilar. You can get like a 68? It's a 58 grain round that's very lethal. So do not disregard the 22. I know the Minnesota Patriot is in the room, and he's saying he's just been awakened. He doesn't have a rifle. He doesn't have any weapons. You know, he's working on doing that. Buying a 22 isn't going to draw attention. Buying a 22, you just say, hey, I'm just going to go out and plink with it. It's an excellent survival tool. And I tell everybody, if I could only have one gun and one caliber, it would be a Ruger 10/22 with, you know, thousands of rounds of ammunition and all kinds of stuff like that, you know, that go with it, the bipod, the 25-round magazine, the drums. 22 is what I would go with for survival, hands down. We don't have one, so we've got these. And this one is Lewis's. And he's pretty good with it. We were out shooting it a few weeks ago with one of the neighbors. Here, yeah, let's put that one back. Lou, I want your pellet gun now. I want your headphones. Now we're going to talk about pellet guns. We've got a variety of pellet guns, 177 and 22 caliber. But you've got to understand, you can go as high as 50 caliber. But we're talking a lot of price, and we're talking about you have to recharge the cylinders with a special bicycle pump. All kinds. There's some extra money involved. We just have those break action, one-stroke pellet guns. It was like making all kinds of noise. Now, what model is this, Lou?
Crossman Quest 800X.
This is a Crossman Quest 800X. Adjustable rear sights.
They make a 177 version.
Yeah, they do make a 177, but I prefer the 22. What is the price on this?
$119? Yeah.
$119, and you got it from where?
PyramidAir.com.
PyramidAir.com. Put it in the room. PyramidAir.com. Now, these are not a kid's pellet gun. These are 800 feet per second. Yeah, we have a crown on it.
The highest one is 13.
You can get them in 1,310 feet per second. For those of you that don't know what that means, my 45 with standard ball ammunition is around 800 feet per second. And they have a 45 caliber. Sure. People hunt deer with these. People hunt pigs with them. You can Google it and see it. People say, well, why would I waste my money on an air gun? Well, let's say you just had a firefight. And there's a bunch of guys laying out there, and you don't know if they're dead. And you don't want to waste centerfire stuff. You just start popping them in the head with this thing. If they're alive, they're going to react. If they're dead, it's going to go into their brain and, you know, and cause all kinds of problems. This will break bone. We were shooting this stuff at fiberglass panels, and it was going through them or embedding in them. It's pretty nasty. It's got a unique kick. One of the things you notice is, I don't know if you can see, there's a hole here. You have to buy a specific type of scope that's made for pellet guns because the shock of this spring and the air going through it or whatever it is, the pressure, breaks scopes. And also will move them up and down this 22 size. It's like engraved rails for a sight. So you need that pin in there to keep it from sliding around. So every survival arsenal should have a pellet gun, not CO2. I mean, I know you say, well, I'll store all the CO2 cartridges. Well, it's impractical. You know, and this is not a tactical weapon for, you know, type of thing. It's more of a stealth weapon.
Great varmint gun.
During the American Revolution, They used air guns. Lewis and Clark had air guns that were repeaters. They had a big bicycle pump, and they'd have to pump it up. What's the pressures for those PSP guns?
3,000.
3,000 PSI. Your hard drive's running for some reason. The one right there. Excuse me, want to take a drink? Training aids. You still have to have proper sight picture, cheek weld, keep your elbows in, you know, breathing control. Can be taught for a lot cheaper using pellets. Plus, you can make pellets. When I was a kid, I was poor. We used to cut up metal rods and make pellets out of them, little shims. We would make wooden pellets to shoot the birds around the place. This one here is responsible for the death of more annoying varmints than any gun I think I own. And we have another 177 that's from, what company is the other one?
Gamo.
Gamo, however they make it, or however they name it. Excellent weapons. Highly recommended by a friend of the show, Brett. That's why we went into it. Brett was saying, you got to get air guns. And if that's all you can do to collect the neighborhood cats, why not? So, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's not everything we have, of course, but we're trying to show you some stuff here. I wanted to take up like 2 hours. I hope we get some calls to fill it before we go over. But it's important that as we fellowship together that we take time to do this. People are going to go, oh, yeah, I never thought of that, or I never heard of a Mosin Nagant. Some people may say, well, I really have... I'd really like to have British Enfield, but the problem is that the British Enfield is a little more expensive, but it's a better gun. I'm not going to lie to you. The Mosin Nagant is not a Mauser. The Mosin Nagant is not the end all. It's a coupon gun. It will allow us to defend ourselves, maybe in a lower percentage of proficiency than if we had FNFALs and 308. I keep trying to say 7.62 because Lou hates it when I use metrics. But let the enemy be your what? Quartermaster. Mobile supply pods, I've been saying for years. I don't know where I got that from, but I heard somebody else say it the other day on another show, and I'm like, I must have stolen it from someone. But mobile supply pods, you know, two-legged commissaries coming your way, two-legged PXs, two-legged armories. And on a note on that, do not pick up weapons off the battlefield that look like they've been dropped or lost. They're booby-trapped. It's not worth the risk. But if you take the guy out, he was firing at you, and you planted some lead right between his two eyeballs, then you can take that weapon because you know he didn't have time to booby-trap it. Even then, still be careful. One of the things that we also preach here is, and I don't have all my gear here. I started pulling stuff out of the Forerunner when we ran out of time and room, and I didn't want to bring it all in here. Backpacks, all that kind of stuff that we have. But for checking wounded on the field to make sure it's not a trap, an ambush, you know, or he's been booby-trapped, grenade under his head. So take a hook and a rope, throw it out, pull the body over from a distance. So safety is bad with Mosin. Other than that, I read it's good gun. I read one must keep the bolt open until ready to fire, apparently. Like I said, I just depressed the... I'll show you again how I did. I still got it out here. The bolt cocks on the upstroke. It pushes the firing pin assembly to the rear. The spring is internal. When you push it down, you push it forward, it skims around out of the internal magazine. It is now ready to fire. Safeties on these, I can't even put the safety on this one. I don't know if you guys can see that. I just tried and I failed, like, you know, Pee Wee Herman. I can't do it. So what I do to be safe, I take my thumb before I put my finger on the trigger, put it over the edge, and then pull the trigger and ride it forward. That's my carry.
This is your safety.
Yeah, my safety is in my brain and my finger, but this is how I carry it in the field. Now let's say, for instance, I knew I was going to come into some deer or something I'm going to shoot, two-legged or otherwise. When I shoulder it, and I'll point up here, and I don't know if you guys can see it, I'll grab this, cock it. Just like my first 22 was that way. You had to cock it by pulling on the plunger.
22, that's
not good. Yeah, we need to show them that for training. Thank you for bringing that up for the kids. Now, some people modify it by welding a hoop on here. So you put their finger in and pull it. Or a bigger tab. Trying to do this with mittens in the cold weather, I can honestly tell you, I bet no Russian soldier, no conscript, ever put his weapon on safety in the winter. Because with mittens, you just can't do it. The other thing, the design on these, you look at the throw from the bolt to the stock, very short. Very short. Most of the fighting in the Russian area was done with all kinds of padding and clothing on, like the Chinese. So a large man, somebody over 6 foot tall, is going to have to add to the stock, put padding on it. But a short fella like me or shorter, it's right in there. It's right in there. So that's another thing I'm glad somebody brought up. There's a little tiny 22 on the other side. It's got the stainless steel looking barrel or whatever. That one. Now, before my daughter was even born, I went and purchased this Henry 22 rifle. I don't know. Some people say it has a special name, but I hear it just says Henry Repeating Arms. The Henry. Paid $200 for this because I wanted the good stuff for my daughter. Single shot 22. We usually shoot just shorts in it. Great for training kids. When you close the bolt, it does not cock itself. So you have to train the child to positively ready the weapon and make the weapon hot. And then again, you can drop it. It has a safety here. It won't let you cock it even if the safety's on. Take the safety off, cock it, put the safety on again. Nothing. Trigger won't even move. So, and I use this, and this thing is actually very accurate. She wanted the pink one. She wanted to convert to a pink one. I just didn't have the heart to paint this thing pink. When she's older and I give it to her, she can do what she wants with it. But this is what we usually, when I have somebody like a petite lady or a child, this is what we break out the train them on. If someone's never fired anything, I start them with this. They use no scopes, just regular sight picture. Now, in the end, there was one of those illuminated high-vis sights. It broke off in my vehicle one day, so I got to get another one. I'll probably do that this week and get another one, just buy it. It just screws in. It's nothing fancy. But it's a great training aid. And you can fire all day long in it. And it's a Henry, so you know it's quality. The stock is hollow. You can take the screws, like my head. I'm going to come over there, Liv.
He just don't like you playing with his gun.
Yeah, it's his gun.
No, it's not.
It's not really Anthony's. If it was pink, it would be his. He likes pink.
No, I don't.
So, whoa. I'm going to put that down there. Somebody's going to come through that door and like, what are you waiting for? All the weapons stacked up right next to you. Yeah. Yeah, you see the helicopter flying over?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm getting calls on that all day.
Also, there was a sheriff.
Was a sheriff helicopter? The Black Ranger one?
Yes.
Okay, so you think, yeah, it's one of the ones he was bragging about.
Mm-hmm.
What were they holding? Could you make out what they were holding on the door? It looked like a video camera. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah, we have studio audience just walked in, so. There you go. Let's see.
Is it wrong to wish that a guy would fall out of a helicopter?
I know. Could you imagine if he'd have dropped out? He's probably tethered in, but I said he was too far away for me to give him a single finger salute or anything, but unless he had optics, which he probably did. But it was funny. They came straight over us. It appeared like they slowed down.
Yeah.
And then they split up, and then they slowed down somewhere down there. Now, there's a lot of marijuana grows, personal. Yeah. There's a lot of people here that legally grow marijuana, so they may just be looking for that. Or looking for abandoned cars, or what was it? Unpermitted structures, because the county's hurting. They're looking for ways to make money.
They use satellites for that.
Yeah, they'll take satellite, you know, they'll go to Google Earth or whatever and see, hey, you got two garages, you're only listed with one. Pay up now or you'll have to pay a penalty.
I've seen it.
So, they're getting out of hand, folks. More on show and tell stuff next Wednesday we're going to do. I think maybe I'll show you my medical stuff next Wednesday. You guys can call in. It's 559-561-8225. Trying to think. I thought I'd be getting all kinds of questions. Like, what is that? Where'd you get that? Now, of course, in the rest of the country, the Nagants, the Muslim Nagants, MOSINNAGANT, are considered curio and relics, meaning they're before 1945 or 50 or whatever it is. And in most states, you can cash and carry those, and there's no paperwork. They're antiques. Here in California, they're treated like any regular firearm. You still have to register them and all that stuff. Well, not register, but they do that yellow form to know that you have them. But they're a great tool. We've got a bipod for one, and we could set up on a hill all day long and just send, you know, 7.62 by 54-hour rounds. Devastating. Now, when you buy your rounds, like I got three different kinds of rounds. I've got this kind, which I think are like Greek or Russian, and I've got another one, a set that's Wolf ammo. They're in the green casing, metal casing. It's not reloadable as far as I know. And then I have a third round that's unidentified, and they're in the can down there. But when you fire each one of these rounds, their point of impact is different. So I should have bought all of one kind, but I bought in such small quantities. That's one disadvantage. You may have 200 rounds that are going to hit the same 50-cent piece at 100 yards every time, and then you grab out the brass, bronzy ones, and they're going to be high into the left. So you've got to fire every round that you have and know where it's going to hit. If you have to, write it on a piece of paper, laminate it, put it on the buttstock of the weapon so you know, hey, I'm using these steel core weapons, and I'm using the green Russian ammo, Russian wolf ammo. Stacy's coming in. I saw her over in the kitchen. Hello? And so you just gotta, you've gotta figure out a way to make sure that you keep that in your head. Hello, how's your day going?
Good.
You make
I'm
it up okay?
Tired.
Well, you're always tired because you work hard. Moving that mail for the judicial system, it's tough work. You get a lot of human heads coming through there.
Yeah.
People shipping human heads to the district attorney. Yeah. The forerunner's still messed up. It wasn't the muffler. So he's going to go home, our friend down the street is going to study his manual. I think it's the fuel filters. So we may have to buy some fuel filters. So just spent all day doing that and came to no fruition. So, but go lay down. If you feel like sleeping, sleep. I got another, don't forget we have Bible study tonight too. So the history of the Magan is rich. It's been, it's actually the 91 model is the longest in-use military firearm in history. The Russians are great. Look at the AK-47. You know, it's, there are more of those than any other weapon. I can't recommend the Nagant any higher, especially for somebody on a budget. And the cool thing about them is they come in a few different configurations, so you can find one that fits your needs or modify it. Don't just lop the barrel off, though. You have to know how to recrown them because it will affect the shooting, and it won't be useful past 25 yards if you do that. The bayonets, like I said, don't take them off. If they're fixed, you leave them on because the weapon was designed to be shot with them. The removable bayonets that slide over are kind of rare. I see them every once in a while, but they fit over the barrel, and you can use it effectively. I had one of those Nagant that had a big stain in it on the stock, on the shooter side of it, on the left side of the stock, on the cheek piece, and we took it in and had some work done to it, and I couldn't get that out of it. And well, one guy says, "Well, that's blood." You know, that's whoever was shooting that probably got their face exploded right next to it. And there were several notches in it right there. We realized that could have been the dude's teeth. So you don't know what you're going to get a hold of, where that weapon's been. Vietnamese snipers used them in Vietnam. Kosovo, they run out, they showed them. And right now, in Iraq, they're putting the P3 and P4 Russian scopes on them. We're talking really limited power scopes. And they're sniping GIs and other folks. Death to code enforcement, laugh out loud, Norlin says. There you go. There must be a huge lag. I just Google Muslim Nagant. Don't tell them you're going to modify it, because these purists in these forums get angry as all get out that I've chopped stuff up. They call me a butcher and I'm a bad man. I did a bad thing. But I'm signing. Let's see. I'm going to sign in again on Yahoo. We got a couple minutes here to go. Why don't you cue up a song and play it here? And right now, we're going to play it. And remember, we're going to come back on Liberty Tree Radio. So we're going to start up something again and do a regular show for them. Please call in. We went through all the trouble to get the phone in here. We'll talk to you later. We'll be right back after the top of the hour.
Odin was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray. Through 66 and 7, they fought the Congo War with their fingers on their trigger. Killed two.
decided he wanted Roland dead. That son of a bitch Van Owen threw off Roland's head. Flash of Roland's Thompson gun. In the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. Roland searched the continent for the man who done him in. He found him in Mombasa in a ballroom drinking gin. Thompson gun, he didn't say a word, but he blew out on one's body from there to Johannesburg. Rolling the headless Thompson gunner. Rolling the headless Thompson gunner. Rolling the headless Thompson gunner. Talking about the man. The headless Thompson gunner. The eternal Thompson gunner, still wandering through the night. Now it's 10 years later, but he still keeps up the fight. In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley.
Hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll send roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order, a new world order, a new
attention!
World order, a new
world order. Attention! This is an emergency! Repeat, an emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap! It's time for
that! Jerry's
radio.
And now for something completely different.
What, no sound effect? We're just going to jump in here without you making any snide remark with your digital voices?
I'm going to clown college.
Clown college. Well, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. Good morning if you're picking us up around the world. I'm Dutch Jones, coming to you live from the Church at Cahuilla in Cahuilla, California, and this is the Dutch Jones radio program. We come to you Monday through Friday on U Broadcast and DutchJones.tk with a Christian militant worldview. And then same worldview on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on the esteemed, the historic, the powerhouse, Liberty Tree Radio. I was reading a copy of Patriots today, and they listed Liberty Tree Radio as one of the sources for intel after the crunch. It was funny. It's like the only information we get is from Free Radio Free America and the intelligence report. So I thought, hey, that's pretty good. I that's my aspiration now, to have James Wesley Rawls write a book and say, yeah, there was this guy named Dutch Jones. He was a little annoying, but I put up with him or something like that. I don't know. But I thought that was pretty cool. We've got the cam on today. We have no special effects. We don't have a lava lamp. Now Mark Cronky has a lava lamp, Lou. Why don't we have a lava lamp?
We don't buy one.
Can't you make a lava lamp?
Put your money on
it. Is it real lava?
Probably.
Yeah.
I drank one.
Yeah, you don't drink the lava lamp juice. It's bad.
No,
it's really bad. Folks, thank you for all those that have added me on MySpace and on Facebook. A lot of folks from the Corn Key family up there, not the family, but the listeners, have been adding me. It's been going up astronomically on both of those pages. People are listening there. People are in the room listening now. I'm not looking at it because I'm looking for something else. But let me switch over here. I'm over-modulating. Mm-hmm. Woo, let me take it down. I like to hear myself loud in my head because I was shooting today, so that's probably why. Let me turn that up.
You had earplugs.
Yeah, I had earplugs, but I was still shooting. So it kind of, who knows, is that better? Was that Ed? You said
yeah.
It was. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Ed.
And Ulima.
And Ulima. Well, I'm back away from the mic now. I was trying to overpower the fan. I want to again reiterate, because some of the emails I got came from the Liberty Tree Radio listening crowd. Some people got mad at me for coming down hard on Israel when they pirated their high seas piracy, well, not high seas, the Mediterranean Sea piracy, and they killed 9 people. And they're saying, oh, those were terrorists, they had guns, and they were smuggling stuff. And I said, well, if they had guns, why didn't they use them? Why do they have to club them to death and stab them to death, the 2 officers that were shot with their own guns? I'm not going to change it. I am not a dispensationalist. I do not think that the Jews in Israel today are the traditional Jews of the Old Testament. They're a different type of Jew. I have nothing against individual Jews. I have a lot against Israel and Zog. So I am not going to change my views. So there were some impassioned letters, and I appreciate that. But I'm not sitting around waiting for Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and all that. It's not biblically sound. It's a modern, perverse doctrine that eked in about 100 years ago. The dispensationalists want to think there's a huge gap between the time that Jesus came in judgment and the time that, after he said, none of this shall occur until this generation passes. Well, those people were all alive in 70 AD when Jerusalem fell. I'm not going to change my doctrinal beliefs. I'm not going to change the foundation on which I argue. Now, I don't say this in anger. I just want to save you the time. You're not going to convince me otherwise. I've read all the books. I've studied all I can. I've listened to better minds than I have on the theory of the dispensationalism that's crept into America, and that's fine. You know, if you want to believe that, I don't think it's going to hurt you. And I don't think me not believing in your belief is going to hurt me. It's not a core belief system in the Christian tenets. It's just not there. So those people that were saying they were praying for me, hoping I would go to heaven because I'm talking bad about Israel, no. It's a different kind of Israel. And if you knew your history and you knew your Bible, you would agree with me. Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that you don't understand it, but your lack of knowledge of the Bible and of history does not make me a wacko. And that's what I stand on. And I put a lot into this. I'm getting people who have been Christians for like 2 years that have never read Revelations, but they tell me it says in Revelations. I go, really, where? Well, I don't know. I've never read it. And I'm like, come on, people, if you're going to attack me, and I got members of my own family doing this, so it's not just strangers. And people that are dear listeners and supporters of the show who I count on for certain things, and I hope this doesn't make them mad, but you're wasting your time trying to convince me that we're supposed to praise this new Israel that's there. Titus did away with Israel. The judgment came. Christ gave the Jews an option, and they didn't take it. They just didn't take it. And there's not much more to be said about that. However, there is a lot to be said about some of the things going on in the news right now. And these things, are not necessarily related to the militia. Hey, Lou, why don't you go take the trash down? Your mom's getting the trash ready. Go get it down. Lou's coming. He's going to take it down. So go get it and take it down. Tell her you're sorry for not doing it sooner. That's your job, and you should have done it earlier. I forgot what I was talking about. Isn't that weird? I look over and Stacy's giving me this dirty look while she's putting the trash out.
You said that it's going to read some news and it's not dealing with the militia.
Yeah, okay, thank you. That's what it is. But this deals with the Christian worldview. Obama extends benefits to families of sodomite federal workers. So your tax dollars, because I don't pay taxes unless I buy gas or buy food or buy ammunition or, okay, I pay taxes. I say that joke because we get these people, these sovereign citizens, and I have nothing against them, but they go, I do not pay Caesar's tax. Really? How'd you get here? In my car. Do you have license plates on your car? Yes. Did you put gas in your car? Yes. Hey, that Twinkie that you're snarfing down, where did you buy it? Yes. You're taxed. You're paying taxes. It's almost impossible unless you live as a hermit and eat crickets, or you have your own honey and you eat grasshoppers, okay? So it's almost impossible in this tyranny to get away without paying taxes. So our money that we put forth is going to sodomites. President Barack Obama on Wednesday expanded benefits for same-sex sodomite partners of federal employees, a move likely to be welcomed by sodomite rights activists who have questioned his commitment to their causes. See, now he's trying to do everything to make up for it. His ratings were low, and he's like, oh, I got to get back to the base. I don't care if I piss off the angry cleaners, you know, the Bible gun-owning folks. Now, Obama said he had directed government agencies to offer a number of new benefits to the families of sodomites and dykes that were federal employees, including family assistance services, hardship transfers, and relocation expenses. His directive builds on a move that he made last year to offer health care benefits, sick leave, and medical evacuation for some sodomite partners of federal employees. Now, Obama said in a statement that while his directive was an important step to the path of equality, existing federal law prevented him from taking further action to provide sodomite domestic partners with the same benefits offered to heterosexually, you know, normal married couples, God-ordained couples. I mean, he called on Congress to swiftly pass a measure that would address this discrepancy. In other words, he wants to shred the Bible right there in Congress and the Constitution. Now, sodomite rights activists who were supporters of Obama during the 2008 presidential campaign have criticized him for not moving fast enough to repeal the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that prevented sodomite men and dyke women from serving openly in the military. Now, we're seeing a trend here. You know, immigration came back up. Now, this whole sodomite issue is coming back up. On the news 2 days ago, military academy, female, ROTC student, signs up to join the military. They'll pay for her college, $80,000. 2 weeks before graduation, oh, by the way, I'm a lesbian. I'm a lesbo, and I don't agree with what's going on in the military. Well, she signed a contract. She violated UCMJ, so they kicked her out and said, guess what? They're thinking now about making her pay back the $80,000. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that at all. She lied. Fraudulent enlistment. And she's saying, well, I just discovered I was a lesbian in college. Well, then, too bad. You lack the moral character to serve this country.
That's how that works? You wake up and you're
alive. One day, yeah. Well, the way my mom used to put it, she says, you better not become gay. Like, you'd be walking down the street and suddenly some guy walks by you and you get a microbe or something. She was freaky. Same lady who said I could get polio from dancing, or from dancing, was swimming with black kids in the public pool. You know, different era. I could do a whole show on my mom, just how weird she was and evil she was. You know, you're supposed to respect your mothers, but in this case I get away with it because if you knew how she was, a Wiccan witch, by everything. Anyway, she welcomed anybody into her home. It's kind of weird. Except black people. She didn't want to get polio. I don't understand it.
Sickle cell?
Yeah, sickle cell. Yeah, I get sickle cell anemia. But and what's weird is there were no black kids in Colorado. In the 70s, there were no black kids, so it didn't matter. Is she okay?
Yeah.
She's not mad at you? She give you the look? Did she go whatever?
When
you?
Oh,
look. Yeah. So, I thought you were taking the trash out already, but we were working all day, so I'll explain it to you.
Don't swim in the pool with gays.
Yeah, you don't catch gay. But they're starting to move all this stuff again. You know, California came with Prop 8. It's going to be attacked by the feds. It's all the things that he wanted. He waited for his first year. He's got a few. He got that victory of the health care thing under his belt. Now he's coming for our moral character of this country. That's right. The moral character of this country is being attacked. If you see it any other way as a Christian, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself, and you're denying the great commandment that we're to go forth and occupy for Jesus Christ. The sodomites, the sodomite agenda in Hollywood, in academia. I was listening last night, and Sir David kept saying documentary instead of documentary. So I'm going to come up with a catchphrase for me so I can say it. I got to come up with something. Anyway, academia. I don't know how you say it. But the sodomite agenda is taking over our schools, K through advanced. They're taking over our military now. And what's going to happen? It's going to destroy the ability of our military to defend this nation. If sodomites are that normal and able to function, just do all sodomite battalions. Just like they do when talking about women in combat. Make all sodomite battalions, let them put out there their shrill little scream and, wear the shorts and whatever they want to do. See what happens to them when they fight the enemy. Now maybe they'll win. Now people go, hoplites, if you're a hoplophile and you study soldiers, I don't want to go into that, but when you study all these, the Greeks were gay, the Romans were gay. Well, yeah, and they all failed, didn't they? How many Greek world armies are there today? How many Italian empires are there today? There aren't any. God spanked them, and he's going to spank us for this whole garbage road that we're going down. You don't agree with me? 559-561-8225. I'm going to say that again while you grab your crayon and that electric bill envelope that's sitting on the table that you haven't paid yet, and you can write the phone number on that. 559-561-8225. And we don't screen our calls. You won't hear somebody go, "Hello, what is your question? You know, who are you calling from? Are you a Republican or a Democrat?" No, I just put you on the air, and modern day campfire, you put out what you want. The chat room active? I'm not in the chat room anymore. So, are they talking about this, or are they talking about the best round to
Trump? What the difference between a Jew and a Hebrew is.
Oh, Jew and Hebrew. I guess there's a lag. Maybe I'm like 5 minutes ahead of everybody. I got this one email. Lots of email. I get hundreds of email now. You guys send this, you know, it's not just a couple people doing it all. I appreciate it. It takes me a couple hours every morning. Now, here's one that comes from Esther from our church, who has a lot of time, man. She just scours the internet looking for stuff and forwards it. You know, she reminds me of Aunt B almost, you know, from maybe our RFD. It's just the whole network of ladies spreading stuff. Well, I'm in on that network. And a lot of it is, you know, cute little puppies and all that kind of stuff. But more and more that she's putting out these things that she's found that are pretty serious. Whether you are an Obama fan or not, yeah, you don't have to go there. Everyone in the U.S. needs to know. Something happened. H.R. 1388 has passed behind our backs. You may want to read about it. It wasn't mentioned on the news. Just went by the ticker tape on the bottom of the CNN screen. Obama funded $20 million in your dollars to immigrate Hamas refugees to the USA. This falls nicely in with my letters that I was getting at saying I was taking the side of Hamas against Israel. Well, let me point out, I'm not for Hamas either, and I don't want them here. Now, by executive order, President Barack Obama has ordered the expenditure of $20.3 million in migration assistance to the Palestinian refugees and conflict victims in Gaza. He had to put conflict victims. He can't put genocide because Israel will get mad at him. But you got to realize, these Palestinians, Hamas, whatever they are, their own countries won't take them. Why aren't they walking across the border to Egypt? You know why? There are armed guards on the border. They won't let them in. They've been kicked out of every nation in the Middle East, whatever you want to call it, the Arab world. It's like, I don't know what you would call them, because it's sandbags, because it's all dry there. Nobody wants them. They treat them like garbage. You said, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't want a racial slur. I was talking specifically about the attitude in America. The lowest rung on America is the migrant worker in this country. Right or wrong, they're at the bottom of the rung in society. Same thing's happened to these so-called Palestinians. I don't know. Are the Palestinians descended from the Canaanites that, you know, the tribes were in and devastated? I don't know. I need to learn a little bit more about that. But few on Capitol Hill or in the media took note of the order. Now, the presidential determination, which allows hundreds of thousands of Palestinians with ties to Hamas, well, anybody in the occupied territories has ties to Hamas, because Hamas, you know, is the government there. Yeah, they're
He
yeah.
calls them his homeboys.
Yeah, and he went over there and he's, you know, he said, "Allahu Akbar, come home with me." So I'm not surprised by this. It's in the Federal Register. It was signed, and it became one of those executive order law kind of things. Now, the order provides a free ticket with housing, food, to individuals who have displayed their overwhelming support of the Islamic resistance movement, Hamas. In the parliamentary election of January 2006, that's when Hamas took over, you know, I can't remember the name of the other party, I forgot what it was, but they had an election, President Carter said it was legal, you know, he's over there with that free election stuff. This is allowing thousands of Palestinian refugees to move, to live in, right in your neighborhood in the U.S., at your expense. More welfare, it's basically welfare. Now, these important and insightful issues are being lost in the blinding bailouts and stimulation packages. Doubtful? You need to verify this. Don't just take my word for it. I'm going to try. I got to sign in to do this. I got to cut and paste it in the room, so I got to sign in. I'll do that. Rocky Hill. But they are doing everything they can to erode the foundations of this nation. Now they're going to bring Hamas people here. Now, as much as I screamed about I didn't like them being neutered by the Zionist commandos, I don't want them in my back porch. I don't want them in Ohio. I don't want them in L.A. I don't want them anywhere. And I don't think all of them are Hamas either, because that's a generality. That's like saying every redneck's a militia member. You know, there's nothing wrong with pissed off rednecks. I am one. But you get the idea. But I don't know. We're going to get into the whole Haitian flotilla boat people thing again, and now it's going to be potential terrorists. Boy, it's taking forever for me to join in. Did any of you guys hear about this? Because I didn't. And I checked the Federal Register, and it's there. It's right there. Let me copy link location. Let me go to UBroadcast. Let me go right here, Control V, and I'm going to send this so you folks can check it out yourselves. Oh, it's buffering me. I've been buffered. I gotta stop this thing from playing. Yeah, I got buffered. Let's see. The group of people that are establishing a form of slavery that is invisible to the unenlightened have led us to believe that there is more than separates us than money, race, religion, and sex. The only difference is rich and poor, and that the margin is growing larger every day. I talk about that all the time, Bosco 74. That's a really good observation. It's class structure. I think it's the upper class against the middle class, against the lower, and utilizing the lower class as the slave labor for it. And when I tie this into the border issue, the Republicans want cheap labor, the Democrats want voters, and they want members to sign up for welfare so that their leftist students that they're pumping out of the leftist colleges will have jobs. I don't like Obama any more than a redneck because I am not blind. I'm not sure. Okay. It's weird when you see something printed in the chat room because you don't get the voice inflection, so you're kind of like, what does he mean by that? Yeah, it has nothing to do with the color of his skin. It has everything to do with the color of his heart. It is very, very important that when we elect leaders, we know what their foundation is. Is their foundation in Jesus Christ? Are they serving the Lord? Are they doing this not for themselves, but as for a calling to secure a nation? No.
I don't like the white half of them either.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, let's put it this way. He's half and half or quarter or whatever he is. I don't like the white part of him either. No more, no less, no more than I didn't like Bush before him. That guy was about as white as you can get. Bosco was black. See, there you go. But if you're a black person and you say you don't like Obama, they're saying you're betraying your race.
A traitor.
Remember when we watched the video with on blacks in American history?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Glenn Beck had two historians on, and they talked about how the left has covered up our history where blacks had critical roles in making this nation. In fact, one was a spy, and I don't have my notes. Maybe I'll do a show on it. I'll get my notes.
Like Simmons?
Yeah, I think it was Simmons. I can't remember his name, but he was a double agent for the U.S., for the colonies. And the information that he brought caused the British to go to Yorktown because he told them there were no troops there. And he ended the Revolutionary War with risking his life. So to say that this is just a white nation, that is a bunch of old white men that had nothing to do with the forming of this, you know, nation for blacks. Blacks didn't show up really until there were slaves, and then until the 60s was the first time they stood up. No, they've been standing up the whole time. It's class warfare. It's the divide and conquer, Olima says in there. And I try not to dwell on it too much. That's why I don't get all excited when people send me stuff. You know, it has a little bit of a racism tint to it. I know. And then it's kind of like, okay, fine. I understand why you're saying that, but I can't agree with it. We had Sir David call in, and he was telling us that the Canes were black. And I'm like, why are we even discussing? I don't care what color they are. They were murdered by federal and local law enforcement. They were executed. It doesn't matter what color their hair is. And in his defense, he was trying to say that people were calling him a racist, a white supremacist. How could he be a white supremacist if he was black? I don't know. Pastor Manning's not white, and he's a white supremacist. I'm just kidding. I love Pastor Manning. And he's very black. But he understands what they're trying to do. And he understands that the majority of the minority and lower class, it's poor whites too, are just got their hand out while they're voting with their left hand for whoever will give them what's going to fill up their right hand. When you can vote in your own largesse and vote in whatever you want, the nation fails to be free. I'm sorry, folks. when we take things like sodomites and raise them up to a normal level and consider them normal and not mentally ill and offer their families benefits, this nation's going to get spanked, folks. Now, some people may say, well, you say include everyone. Everyone that exists within the law of God, regardless of race, creed, color. And if he violates the law of the Lord, he's outside the holy cause of liberty. They're outside. Yeah, Smut is saying there are blacks listed on the payroll of the Confederate Army. A lot of the chaplains were black in the Confederate Army. A lot of the blacks were fighting for their homes. That's the way this show goes. You never know what we're going to talk about. The Confederate Constitution banned any new slaves coming into the Americas, into the Confederate States. That nation banned slavery before, and they knew that eventually it was going to die out. Their Constitution, it's very clear. The only thing the South didn't do is they didn't say, if you fight for the Confederacy, you're a free man. What they said was, if you fight for the Confederacy, we'll discuss it later. I think that God would have blessed them had they freed those slaves, because there is biblical slavery. You go to a ranch owner, I'm talking modern days for our listeners, and you say, hey, I'm indigent, I got no money, I got no training. You take me in for 7 years, feed me, give me shelter, I'll work for free, I'll work as hard as I can, you teach me a skill. At the end of those 7 years, you can let me go free and you can pay me. And you negotiate the payment. It could be 50 goats and your daughter. That actually happened. That's what Lou's doing. Lou is an indentured servant. After 7 years, I release him, and he's the world's problem. But the problem in the South was that of the 10% of the population that actually owned slaves, which wasn't very big, there was a percentage of those, a small percentage, that didn't treat their slaves in a biblical manner. They didn't give them a route to emancipation.
What's your doing?
I'm giving you a round. I'm not beating you that much anymore. They didn't put a time limit on it, like 7 years. So and a lot of the slave owners, just looked the other way. So the South was, I believe, punished because of that. Now the North, the whole nation was punished for that war of federal aggression. They stood by and let the abolitionists butcher people, including black slaves. They stood by and let the abolitionists basically do whatever they want. They stood by and let the Northern Methodists attempt to take over the Southern churches. So they were being spanked. Boston 74 says, there's always been some form of slavery. The early American learned how to make it more cruel. Well, I think what it was corporate. I wouldn't even say the early Americans. Corporations treat people harshly. So the money-hungry slave owners didn't really care about their slaves. But you go to the other end of the spectrum, far more of them treated them with respect and treated them sometimes as family. Wet nurses, black wet nurses, black nannies, that's different. In the North, they were hanging blacks during the War of Federal Aggression because they didn't care any more about the black man than the fervent slavery-endorsing Southerners, the mean ones, the bad slave masters. And the thing you got to remember is that there were African Americans. I don't know what term to use, because when you're talking contextually in history, there were former slaves that owned slaves.
A non-white that's dark.
Yeah, a non-white that's dark. So don't tell me that it's a white man's burden. You know who does all the slavery now in the world? Europeans and Arabs. We saw on the news today that guy who killed that girl down in Aruba. The rumor is that he's killed another woman, and he's made comments that he was a white slaver of young girls through Venezuela. Venezuela's a big route for it. Slavery exists today. Haitian children are being kidnapped or sold willingly into the sex slave business. The whole Emancipation Proclamation, let's talk about that.
No, I don't listen to hip-hop.
That was a joke. Luigi says I don't listen to hip-hop. The Emancipation Proclamation freed slaves in those counties that were under Northern rule at the time. He did not have the authority as a foreign leader to do that. He freed no slaves in the Northern territories. Not one. When the war ended, there were still slaves in the North. President Grant had slaves. And when asked why, after this war, this terrible war to free the black man, why do you still have slaves? You know what Grant said? Good help is hard to find. And I guess when his wife died, he let him go. But the lies that have been preached in the chapels across America, the dispensationalists and the lies in our institutions. Play the music, Lou. Whenever it hits 29, you got to start rolling the music. I can't keep telling you this. We're going to be back after the break. I'm going to go hug my wife and see if she's grumpy because Lou didn't take the trash out again. But this is Dutch Jones. Please go to the pitch in and pitch in. We need your help.
He's fighting for his nanny dear, his sword and his buckle long. He's fighting for his own true love, his foes he does defy. He is the darling of my heart, my southern soul.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Without a a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
A gun! A
for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll send roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
World order.
Attention!
Order.
Emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap! It's time for
that! Jerry's
radio.
And now for something completely different.
We had the studio monitor on. My fault, my bad. I was out hugging my wife and getting involved in marital bliss like every Christian man should. I love my wife. I love seeing her. I have a confession to make. I covet my wife. I mean, how do I deal with that? Okay, folks, we're back. It's the last half hour. We're on Liberty Tree Radio. We are on UBroadcast. We are on Ustream. We are on... what else are we on? We're on Facebook and MySpace. If people are switched to my page, those players pop up, and they can see them. We're not on YouTube. We don't save them. We are running the video camera. We're going to see how much bandwidth it takes. I've gotten a lot of emails. People said they like seeing us. I don't know if it's so they can make fun of us, or they can. Yeah, I don't know what. I have no idea. But they said they like the camera. But we need to see if it uses up all the bandwidth. And I just got to remind you, since it is Wednesday. Right at 7 o'clock, we're bolting because we got to take the little soundboard and hook up a camera for America's Providential History Bible Study. Okay, yeah, Michael Savage, I agree with that, Smut. I'm not a big fan of his, but he does get some good callers. I'll check it out. Save that link, Blue, would you? Mm-hmm. See the one that just went in there. This is, if you've never listened to the show, what day was the muster? Well, it's a week from... It's two Saturdays away. Third Saturday and Sunday of the month will be our muster. Also, one thing, Rocky Hill, that I tried to impress him, but some people said they didn't hear me say it. I need you to list the people that you are going to bring with you. We're going to be doing, it's just a show and tell like we did in the first hour. We're going to sit in a great big circle, Indian style, out on the training field, you know, after you guys set up your tents and everything. We want to see how long it takes you to set up your shelters, set up your little encampments. Look at it like it's a militia reenactment with modern equipment. And then I'm going to teach some classes. We're going to do some joint training skills. We're going to team building. We're going to focus on team building. We're going to focus on the mental mindset that you need to have. I'm gonna give you, you know, those typical skills that testing that I got, you know, like, okay, here's team A, you got five people, your boat is sinking, you have to take 10 items and itemize them in hot order of importance, right? Bosco, I don't know where you are. Where are you? That's what I need to know. We're in Central California. It's kind of hard to have. We got people from all over the country that want to be our pals.
I think you have to be a member for the
month. Yeah, no, yeah, I know. But if he becomes a member of the church, then he can. That's a given, Lou. We are going to do what we can do to educate those of our people that are just waking up. Now, I said we're losing folks, but we're also gaining folks. Some people didn't think we were serious, or the church was serious 10 years ago.
Are you serial?
Omaha. That's kind of a drive. Come spend. One weekend a month with us. You know, come see the Sequoias. You know, you could fly into Fresno. That would be expensive to come to a muster. But we're going to sit down. We're going to find out what our weaknesses are, what our strengths are, how we can work together. And one thing that we really wanted to talk about was just our get out of... What is that? That's kind of a strange flashes of light. Is that you, Stacy, in there? Oh, okay. Did you make a mess in there? Okay. I just saw a flashing light. I thought you were setting your stuff on fire again. But focusing on what goes into the bug-out bag or 3-day survival pack, A lot of people don't realize, and they actually overpack. I get these people that roll up with one of these big Tupperware containers on wheels. This is my 3-day survival pack, and I'm like, really? How many people are in your family?
Just me.
You're welcome along. Bring your wife and your dog, Bosco74. Oh, you're getting Stacy up. Should I show him? Stacy's putting her tactical vest on.
Yeah, I found it so creepy.
Is something going on we need to know about? You're wearing your wear your tactical vest to go run around the field?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Wear it to Bible study?
Yeah, I'm going to use your gun, too.
No, you can't use my gun. You have a rifle.
You'd cry.
You have your own rifle.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, I forgot. See, this is why we have to have the muster. Stacy forgot she has her own rifle.
It's like the most expensive, too.
Yeah, she's just too much going on in her head. Sorting the mail for the man. Now,
it's a pigeon.
Hang on, folks. It's a last hour we were doing show and tell, and I was showing and telling about what I use. You know, this is the poor man's militia here. We only have a couple people. They're saying, go, Stacy. Somebody said, chatted, go, Stacy. Only a couple of people in our group have any money. Everybody works or gets a pension of some kind, like I do. Stacy works. So these Mosin-Nagant rifles that we modify, it's not popping up on the screen, but I probably stopped it. Can you see that, Lou?
Yeah.
This is my Mosin-Nagant that I modified. Yes, you diehard historical buffs are going to go, why'd you do that? I got my long eye relief scope. I got sight rails on it. Put it in a fiberglass stock that I painted, but I didn't buff properly, so it's starting to come off. So I've got to sand it all down. I've got a pack on the end here for ammo and for gear cleaning kit. Raise up my cheek a little bit, but all the extra parts. We shouldn't have Stacy. If you step in here, you'll be on the camera.
It's like a girdle.
It's like a girdle. She's wearing her tactical vest. It's like a girdle. Can you see her?
No.
Well, no, I'm not streaming.
That's funny.
Can you see her, Lou?
Not really.
Oh, okay. But your camouflage, you're just blocking the flag. It's okay. She's wearing her Woodland camouflage tactical vest that we sell these. It's from Voodoo Tactical. Doesn't have a holster on it, but it's got three pouches that hold one mag each. That's the only I didn't like. But it's got rifle mags, pistol mags, and yeah, just wear it to church tonight. That'll freak out some of the people.
It's my girdle.
But as we come to a time when the line is drawn in the sand and people's got to start picking which side, we need to get more serious about our training. If that means people are going to bail out, that's fine. I'd rather have them bail out now than later. So no hard feelings either. I mean, they are the only judges of their household, especially the men. Will you get me some more Waterloo?
Okay.
Waterloo. Battle of Waterloo. Are you being sardonic? we can't afford to have people clinging on that are not 110% committed. I would much rather appreciate an honest man who says, hey, my family's not into this anymore. We need to be fed somewhere else. We need to go somewhere else. Hand models. Chat rooms are doing really good today. A lot of people, a lot of flow. But we were talking before the break about the sodomite agenda. Let's see about... Oh, so that's it. We were talking about the war of federal aggression. Now she's got her weapon on. Oh, it's my weapon. She's wearing my 45. That's okay. It's a little big on you. My belt. I'm a little bit bigger around the waist, so you have to hold the belt. So she slung her 45, a trauma kit on the other side, extra mag.
And a tactical knife.
Tactical knife, you know, so okay.
I don't think she can even...
Is your fly down?
No.
Nah, just kidding to see if you'd look.
No.
Camera's not on you anyway. The war of federal aggression was not fought, as the lefties like to push, to free the black man. You cannot... I mean, if you use that argument, you should say World War II was fought to free the Jew. It's not true. It's not true. The federal government did not attack the South to free the slaves. It attacked the South to make slaves of us all. That's what they did. When the states seceded, and rightfully so, over tariffs, taxation, misrepresentation, all kinds of political reasons that were just dealing with the tyrant that was in the White House at the time. That war was fought to destroy the agricultural base of the South, to bring it into the control of the bankers in the North and in England, and to justify changing us from these United States to the United States. So, it's sad. It's just sad that Sony. What am I hearing bitted up for? Do you hear that?
Yeah.
We're being scanned again, aren't we? You guys hear that in the chat room? Huh. Yeah, American citizens are slaves to the federal government, or so that's what they want you to think. I don't live in the District of Columbia or one of the territories. I'm a citizen of California, as bad as that is. I mean, it's like two different frying pans, not even frying pan. What is that noise?
I don't know.
It's me walking.
No. That was creepy.
What?
It's like somebody's trying to take us off the air. There's a lot of lag in it too. Did you hear? Are we still on?
Yeah.
We just got hit with some kind of frequency thing that came through the headphones and wow. Isn't it true that 30 million were killed in Nazi camps and the Jews say 6 million Jews were killed? Actually, I think it's the other way around. I think the 6 million is the inflated. If you do the math, you know, yeah, I'm one of those Holocaust deniers. But it doesn't matter.
You evil, heartless.
Yeah, if 10 Jews were slaughtered, that's too many, okay? So let's get that straight. I never heard that it was more than that. But the gypsies, the retarded people, the sodomites, the Poles, there's all kinds of people that were killed.
So it was.
And it's funny that the Jews are the only ones that keep throwing it up in our face.
So it was a Holocaust.
Yeah, I don't know. What about the Armenians when the Turks killed 2 million Armenians?
Nobody talks about that.
Yeah, they never bring it up, and Obama won't do it. He doesn't want to make the Turks mad.
Oh, he didn't go to Arlington to honor the dead.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't.
He went to Chicago instead.
Yeah, to see his mafia bosses. And then you've got, we got Pol Pot in Kampuchea. Those of you that don't read, that's Cambodia.
Also that racist.
2 to 3 million people were killed there in Cambodia by children soldiers. So why is it, you know, that we have to bend over backwards to give everything to the state of Israel? Sorry. It's terrible what Hitler did. If Hitler were alive today, I'd put a bullet in his head if I could get to him. Flat out fact. I'm not a Nazi. I'm not an anti-Semite. I am a realist. I look at history, and I don't let the media reinvent it for me. I go to the letters and the writings and artifacts of the time, just like the Constitution. When they say all this stuff is about the Constitution, hey, all Chuck, we look at that stuff, and then we got somebody today telling us what they meant in the Constitution when it is clear between the correspondence between the Founding Fathers what they meant. Yeah, it's... And the problem is that America is just too stupid and doesn't care. I got a niece that's just like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and wait for Jesus. I'm not going to say anything about the government. They can do whatever they want. Maybe we all need to be killed by the government to bring on the new Jerusalem. I don't find that scripturally. They never read history and they never read the Bible. They get their Bible from, you know, Trinity Broadcasting, and they get their history from PBS or the History Channel, where it's all controlled and reconstrued and fabricated. Just like we were talking earlier, they took all the blacks out of the American Revolution about the time of President Hoover. Hoover, who was a Klansman and President of the United States, and did all the terrible things he did with the League of Nations and the Federal Reserve, redid all the textbooks that took the contribution of the founding of this nation by former slaves, freedmen, whatever, and just did away with them. And lied. They even changed paintings. Oh, this guy wasn't the hero of Bunker Hill. He's just a slave. He wasn't the black free man that fought ferociously on Breed's Hill in the painting, the Battle of Bunker Hill, which was painted by a guy who was there. It's ridiculous, isn't it? They lie to us so we fight amongst ourselves. But that doesn't mean that people are not accountable. The savages that are in street gangs and terrorizing their own neighborhoods, they deserve not our sympathy, but rather our wrath. And let the Lord use us. Want a last minute? Okay, Sons of Liberty just checked in. And he says, want a last minute update on the USS Liberty issue? Can you tell us about the guy who was the USS Liberty survivor? Has that been confirmed that he was indeed in the flotilla that was attacked by the Israelis again? I'm looking. Once you respond to that, you can call in. Two Sons of Liberty. Because if you want to talk about that, sure, call in. 559-561-8225. We've got about 12 minutes left. So go ahead and call in. We'll take your call, put you on the air, and we will see. Let me do this. Bring up the phone so that when you do call, maybe that's what we'll end with. USS Liberty survivor, part of the flotilla. Okay. Hello, are you there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, brother?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Ooh, this sounds real good. Coming in good. Why don't you give us an update if that's what it's about and share with us what you know?
Hey, I got through one of my sources regarding that. Let me, just a second. I'm getting feedback here. I've got a Kilma.
Yeah, turn down your please turn down your radio.
I had gotten some information from some of my sources out there, and so I checked up on it and went to, of course, Ron and Phil, who were on your show.
Okay, right.
And Ron has confirmed to me, first-hand source, that USS Liberty survivor Joe Meadors, spelled M-E-A-D-O-R-S,
okay.
Who is the president of the USS Liberty Foundation and Veterans Society, was asked by Congressman McKinney, I think her name is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that up on front of me. I sent you an email on that. I'm multitasking 10 things
sure.
right now. She had asked him to go on her behalf on the Gaza aid mission to the Gaza Strip. On one of the ships that was in the aid fleet. And so he accepted and he went.
Okay.
Now, this is a man who is a war hero for the United States. The USS Liberty is one of the most highly decorated ships in United States history that nobody knows about.
Secret history, yeah.
And this man went through being attacked and brutalized by the Israelis once, and now he's going through it again.
Yeah.
And there's many of us that are very concerned for his safety because the Israelis are out for blood right now.
Yes, they are. They want to shut up every witness, just like they tried to do with the Liberty.
So if they find out that Joe Meadors, who he really is, he could very well be in mortal danger.
Well, I'm pretty sure they know already. I mean, if we know it, they know it. The Mossad is very busy.
Yeah, well, we're very concerned about his safety, and I think that the FBI and the United States Navy should be concerned about his safety as well.
Right, right.
Have our ambassador in Israeli asking for his immediate release, no questions asked. He's being held as a prisoner of war by Israel, and
so
that's exactly what it is.
Do you know if he's...
Piracy.
Is he one of the 40 that's in the airport, or is he actually being held in jail right now?
We still don't know. I mean, it's from my last communication with Ron just a couple hours ago, nobody knows about his well-being or his whereabouts.
Yeah, we better pray
for
this, man.
There's other people too. There's over 200 American citizens that are presently prisoners of war of Israel, and some of them are some pretty high-ranking military. And, former congressmen and senators and people like that. So this has been a disaster that what Israel has done. And now Turkey has several Turkish ships en route right now to escort a Irish aid ship into the Gaza Strip. And I don't think they're messing around.
Now, it's not what Israel is saying, it's what they're not saying. It's that they haven't shown any of the cargo that supposedly was contraband. Have you noticed that? They haven't said, oh, these people were terrorists. Look, they had a bunch of AK-47s and RPGs. All they're saying is, and the media is going right along with it, like, we just came in peaceably with paintball guns to search the ship, and they went nuts. That we didn't brutalize anybody, and the only footage that's been released has been of the stabbing and shooting of the two Israeli pirates that were killed, and not of the nine that were killed, the nine civilians on the ship. So
there's more than nine. My sources are saying that it's 20 or more people, and that the Israelis are holding this secret from the press.
Yeah.
Trying to hold all of this. They confiscated over a couple hundred video cameras and cell phones. They had recorded pictures of the event.
Yep.
They actually strip searched a lot of the people to make sure that they didn't hide any discs or media. I mean, they went to great extent, and what the Israelis are going to do is hide all this information and hopefully wait for the idiotic sheeple who are being fed Zionist propaganda to forget
right.
about this in about a week or two.
Yep.
And then that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping that this will just
blow over.
Forget about it.
Look, people don't care about the villages that were burned and the women raped by leading Israeli politicians that are now in the Knesset 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They cover up everything.
Well, the present president of Israel is a convicted war criminal.
Yes,
and,
he is.
And that has not been widely distributed in the American media.
Yeah.
He took part in 1967 when the USS Liberty was intercepting communications. They mass murdered several thousand Egyptian and Syrian officers and troops because they didn't have the resources to keep them prisoners, so they were given the order to just kill them.
Isn't that funny? They're exactly what the Germans did in the Battle of the Bulge, in the Winter Battle. They just killed all the Allied prisoners of war because they couldn't feed them. And Israel stands on that as their justification. Look what happened in World War II. Oi! We should be allowed to do whatever we want to protect our borders. Oi!
Well, the Russians did it to 22,000 Polish officers and academics.
See, our enemy are tyrants regardless of what flag they fly. Doesn't matter, people. I don't care if they're Jews. I don't care if they're Catholics. If they're tyrants, we have to call them on the carpet for it. We have to know that they're there.
I will have to say this, Dutch, that I have seen, and I've had a couple of my sources say, that a lot of people who've been sitting on the fence the last several years, people have been calling me and other people who've been trying to warn people about the Zionists who are separate from Jews.
Right.
You know, we've been branded anti-Semites.
Right.
People are now starting to wake up to the ploy that the Zionists have been using, which is hiding behind the Holocaust industry and hiding behind the Jewish issues.
Hmm.
And in the last couple of days, I have gotten, I can't tell you how many letters I've gotten from Jewish people saying, you know, we really thought you were a hate monger, and our eyes are open now, and we're writing to apologize for attacking you. So,
yeah.
We're starting to see that a lot of American Jews are saying, hey, wait a minute here. This is, you know, this has just gone too far, and we can no longer stay quiet.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the Zionist media empire is taking kindly to this.
Yeah, see, that's the importance that we've all got to remember. We've got to identify our enemies, but we've also got to identify those that are not our enemies just because they share the same name or faith system or live in the same region. And that's part of the unification of the militias that I talk about, being able to stand against, you know, separate but equal. Separate but, you know, I know people hate it when you say separate but equal, meaning we're going to be separate groups fighting the same enemy. We may not stand shoulder to shoulder, but we're attacking the same beast.
Right, and I agree with that. Recently I made a statement to Mark Kornacki from USS, from the Liberty Tree Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of criticism because of my intel on the Hutari, and Mark is very close allies with the people of Hutari.
Sure.
And my concern was not that that I personally had a problem with Hutari. My problem was is that they were flying the Israeli flag
mm-hmm.
and calling themselves a Christian group. And as a Christian patriot group, I have problems with somebody using the Zionist Israeli flag and then calling themselves a Christian group because,
sure.
to me, I do not see the Israeli flag as having anything to do with Christendom. And I don't know
sure.
how
well,
Mark can justify that.
Well, that's from what I heard is that they did it because they had some Jewish people in their group and they just asked to put it up there. I don't think it was done to say that we... You know, and a lot of times, especially Christians that are caught up in the end times dispensationalism, which we talked about in the last hour to a great extent, they think that Israel is somehow a sacred cow. So I don't get angry at them for doing that. It may just be, you know, it's a doctrinal difference. And I understand where you're saying, like, I wouldn't want somebody flying a UN flag other than a joke in a militia. So I understand that. So I think some people just don't understand the connection between Israel and Zog.
It says it's to honor Jewish members.
Yeah, it's to honor Jewish members.
The thing is, that I spoke several times to Houthi commander.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in 2006 and 2007. And, you know, I had a very heated debate with him on this. And this wasn't that he had Jewish members in this group. This was coming from him.
Yeah. Well, we've heard that all before, and, you know, we've hashed it out. We just have to agree to disagree. We're coming up on the end of the break here. Thanks for calling in, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Remember, go to DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk. We really need you to chip in. There's a new chip in there. We got to pay an electric bill. We got to pay a bunch of stuff. We're going to be moving a lot of stuff and to set up this new studio. Look at all the listeners we're getting. We need your support. If everybody just pitches in $5, that'll go a long way. Yeah, just whatever you want, whatever you need. We've shipped off DVDs to you, Minuteman. They went off Monday or Tuesday. They went off Tuesday. Our post office thing is a mess. We'll be back tomorrow with some more who knows what. We don't know. Thank you so much for coming on and just taking part in the cause, the holy cause of liberty. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord.
Behind the wire, armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand.